Hebrews and in chapter 11. Amen. Everybody knows the faith chapter. And I started out wrong here already. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 7. Good to see each and every one here. May the Lord bless you. Pray for us much. We will begin our journey headed south after this service, and we need God's protection. Hallelujah. And then we will be going right into Mexico, and we need God's protection. Okay, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. We're thankful for your presence we have already felt. We're thankful for your glory. We're asking of your anointing. We're asking of your help and your power to come by. We can't walk and we can't talk without you, Lord. We need you. We commit all into your hands right now to be used of you, that we might be able to be a blessing to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us, I'm sure, that are here pretty well know the story of Noah. Everybody knows the story of Noah and the flood and the ark that God told Noah to build. Amen. The warning came from God directly to a man that found grace in the eyes of God. The man, as I said, is named Noah. And by faith, Noah, after that God had already gave him the instructions of how to build the ark, the size, the three stories, and all the specs of this structure. Amen. Noah, the Bible said, by faith, being warned or told of God of the things not seen as yet. The flood has not yet come, that not started. As a matter of fact, it took 120 years before the flood ever came from the time that God told Noah to build the ark. But the point and my subject this morning for us is the fact that after that Noah heard the instructions from God and being warned of God, the Bible said that he moved with fear. Amen. He moved with fear. Hallelujah. I believe that Noah, amen, as the Bible tells us this morning, that he moved actually with fear more than probably any other man. Why did he move with fear? I believe he moved with fear because he believed the word of God. Because he was sure that what God declared to him, that he was going to destroy the world with a flood, that it was going to happen, and that he must move quickly to prepare this ark. He moved with fear because of the fact that it was a great undertaking. Amen. Because it was a big vessel. It was a big ship. It was one that was just hardly to be comprehended by men to be built. Amen. But he moved. He moved. He moved with fear. Hallelujah. And what was it, the fact that he moved with fear? He moved with fear to prepare the ark for the saving of his house, for the saving of his family, for the saving of his children, for the saving of his loved ones, and whosoever will could have come into the ark. I believe there was plenty of room for a lot of people. Amen. But like under the days that we're living today, people do not believe there is anything going to happen such as the rapture of the church, such as the coming of the Lord. Amen. They believe it not. Therefore, our benches are needing more people because they don't believe it. They laugh and they mock and they make fun of him. Amen. But he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached the truth. He preached righteousness. What was his doctrine? Righteousness. Amen. A holy, dedicated life unto the Lord. He told and taught people that it was imperative for them that they would live such a life in order to be able to please God. Several years back, I'll never forget, we were at a camp meeting over in Savannah, Georgia. Brother by the name of Brother C.M. Butler was the pastor of the church, and we were there for that camp meeting. They used to have one of the glorious camp meetings that I can remember of. But during the morning service, before the night service, there was a space in between the two services in which people had a chance to relax or to pray or to study or whatever they needed to do. Amen. But I'll never forget that we had to go to the store. My wife and I and the children at that time got in that pickup and we went to the store. There wasn't too much to get, if I can recall. Therefore, my wife went in by herself. The children and I stayed out in the truck waiting for her. But as we sat there, I noticed a police pulled up just a little ways from the store, the grocery store. It was a shopping center, several stores. And then at the end, amen, was a restaurant. And over in that restaurant, on the other side was an open space, and there was a patio. There was tables, chairs, umbrellas where people sat under the umbrella in that table and ate. And the police came and went in there. Well, I was curious to what in the world he was going to do or why would the police go there. And then I wanted to go see, but it didn't affect me enough to go see until the second policeman came. Then I said, whoa, I wonder what's going on. And that didn't quite move me till the third policeman came. And I said, oh, George, you got to go see what's going on. Amen. So Curious George drove over there, and we pulled up to the side, and the patio out there where they ate, there was a man laying on the cement floor. And he was there, and the police standing around not knowing what to do. They didn't know, you know, what they could do for the man. They were not trained in that profession. And so the man had turned purple and blue. His face was black almost. Amen. And after a while, I just drove on back and pulled over there to the store. And about that time, here comes the paramedics, the ambulance. And the ambulance pulled up there. And I said, oh, good, they're going to help that man. I believe the man is choking to death, and he needs help. Yeah. Amen. But the guy that came in that paramedic truck weighed several more pounds than me, and he wouldn't move in fast enough. He got out and just almost drug his feet. Amen. Like he was so tired. He was so lazy. He wasn't all that worried about it. He went and opened a little side door, got a satchel, and there he goes. And I'm sitting there waiting on my wife, looking at the paramedic. And I wanted to holler out, hey, move with fear, sir. That man's dying. He needs your help. He needs you to help him quickly. Hey, run, move with fear. Amen. And this is the message that I have for us this morning. There is too many souls a dying. There's too many souls that are choking to death with the cares of life, that are drowning in perdition, that are being destroyed by the powers of sin and the devil. Amen. And here we are. God, help us to move with fear. God, help us because they're our children. God, help us because they're our grandchildren. God, help us because they are our neighbors. Amen. And they're the ones that we need to help. And we need to move quickly. I hope I didn't break. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Move with fear. Huh? I'm afraid that the church has got too comfortable. I'm afraid we as the church in whole, in general, across the country, across the United States, and around the world, in this last days that we're living in, we've got more carried away with the cares of life, with making ends meet, with trying to make more than the Joneses, with trying to keep up with the world. Amen. And I'm not against you having good things, God forbid. But oh, that folks would not go to having 2 and 3 jobs and cause them to stay out of the house of God. And not only will it not help because of their family dying and going to hell, but they themselves will be lost. In the book of Matthew, and in chapter 24, and in verse 12, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would wax cold." A cold Christian. Amen. Cold about sinners. Cold about saints. Amen. It used to be that you would greet the brother with a holy kiss. Well, that went away. And then it used to be that you would greet one another with a hug, a holy hug, if you please. And that went away. And then we had greet one another with a handshake. Well, that's about where some of us are. But there's some that don't even do that now. They just pass by and they go, hey, and go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still here? I'm not going to drag this thing out real long if I have to pull a big old train. Amen. But I tell you what, if there ever was a time that we needed to move with fear, it's now. It's the tag we're living in. We need a fervent spirit, a spirit that would cause us to come rejoice into the house of God, that come praise into the Lord. Amen. Enter into his courts with praises and thanksgiving. And because iniquity abounds, and because there's so much sin, and because there's so much to do, amen, people can't come to the house of God. Was that your son? I saw going down the road a man pulling a boat behind him on Sunday morning. Huh? Why isn't he in the house of the Lord? Amen. Why is it that they're so far away from God? I'm not trying to be mean and ugly about this thing. Amen. This is not an easy subject to preach. This is not an easy thing for me to do and get up here and tell you, amen, we need to move with fear. We need to pray more. We need to seek God more. We need a burden for souls that are dying and going to hell. People everywhere need God. Amen. And who better but you and I that have reached the heights of holiness, that know the true way of God. Amen. That have been brought out from those churches. Amen. That have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And we know the right way. We know the way to get to heaven. We know the way to live and pray and read and seek God's word. Amen. But because iniquity abounds, but because sin abounds, There's so many pleasures in this world than there was when I got saved. And they're in church. Amen. They've got bowling alleys in church. They got swimming pools in church. Huh? Well, that don't sound. They have parties in church. They drink beer in church. Amen. Huh? There was a church out in the beach, out at the beach, and they have their church bus and the name of the bus. Amen. And they all got out to go out there and swim out in the ocean. Problem is, it's a church bus. The problem is that it was the church people. The problem is none of them had any clothes on. Under the name of church, under the name of religion, my God, we need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. We need the Spirit of God to move in our midst again and bring convictions. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry if you don't like this kind of preaching. Amen, this is what God gave me today. I quoted this scripture at the funeral in the book of St. Luke, chapter 23, and in verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. If we ever needed to weep, it's in the hour we're living in. I'm telling you, church, it's hard to pray. It's a battle to pray. It's a war to pray and to weep and to get under that burden for souls and to weep for souls. Amen. It's a hard thing to do in the hour we're living in. Amen. Folks about know what they're going to say in their prayers. It's vain, repetitious prayers. Jesus was against it. And we ought to have a burden deep down inside for souls to get saved. Do you know what would bless the church more than anything? It's when a new soul gets saved. When a new soul comes to Jesus. When they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you don't have to start preaching him from A to Z, but conviction falls in their heart and they begin to change their life and begin to become a new creature in the Lord. Amen. New blood in the church will revive a church like you have never seen before. Most people will blame the pastor. Pastor, get out there and get them. But you know, I want to put the blame where the blame is. The pastor is the shepherd of the sheep. He's to take care of the sheep. But sheep beget sheep. Ooh. Hallelujah. Sheep beget sheep. Have you witnessed to somebody lately? Will you go to Jesus and not have anything to tell him, here, I've got sheaves to lay at your feet? Have you won one person for the Lord in all your life? One soul. Amen. God help me today. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah in chapter 37 and in verse 3, and they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. There is children come to the birth, but there is not enough strength to bring forth. They've come in and out our doors. They've come in and out our churches. They've come to church and we're under conviction. And they come to an altar and they wanted to get saved. But there was not enough strength to bring forth. Oh my God, help us, Jesus. Amen. They come and they leave just like they came. God, give us a greater burden than we've ever had for souls. 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 Dying. Lost without God. Because iniquity abounds, our love for souls has grown cold. You don't have to be an elderly person to win souls. You don't have to be any certain age. You can be a witness when you're young, middle-aged, and old. God will bring somebody to you for you to witness to. You will have an opportunity to invite somebody to the house of God. Amen. And I'm leaving that on your shoulder, because you will see and will awaken in this coming week. And you will say, oh, this is what Brother Sosa said, that I'm supposed to invite this person to church. All you got to do is say, come. Hallelujah. What? What do you mean? Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come to the house of God. Amen. That's all you got to do. It ain't that hard. Amen. You've got a beautiful church. You've got a wonderful pastor and family. Amen. We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall be able to work. Oh, God, help America. We have become so spoiled. Amen. That the pastor can't do anything for trying to keep up with the members. Begging the members. Oh, if you want your money back, there it is. I didn't come to preach to you for money. I come to try to reach your soul. God's going to help us. Amen. Oh, it ain't that I don't need money. Well, I've got a long ways to go back home. But it ain't for that we preach. We preach for soul's sake. We preach for the sake of the gospel. Amen. We come to tell you, church, glory to God, that you are responsible to win souls and bring souls to this house. Amen. Hallelujah. But no, we're the ones that are to be pitied. Oh, and I'm the one that's sick, and I'm the one that needs help, and I'm the one that needs the pastor to come and visit. Will you preach? Bring me some flowers, Pastor, when you come to my house, or a box of candy. Hey, I'm a soldier. I don't need flowers to be brought to me. I'm a soldier. I don't need candy to be brought to me. I'm a soldier for Jesus Christ. I'm a warrior. I'm going to fight. I'm going to make it all the way. Hallelujah. You ought to be happy you're getting this kind of message, because it's just for us. Amen. Children are come to the birth, and there's not enough strength to bring forth. And they're crying and they're praying, and they get up and they don't get saved. Well, I blame that on us. Hallelujah. Amen. What else can you do for somebody to get saved? but forgot to convict them and forgot to bring them to church and forgot to get them to the altar. And then we, the saints of God, amen, ought to pray them through, ought to have enough power, ought to have enough of the Holy Ghost. And there's not enough strength to bring forth. Huh? Some are cold and a few are frozen. Some come to church and are snoring and dreaming. Some come to church and they are shopping at Walmart while they're in church. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach to you like this. If I didn't love you, you know what I'd be preaching? Ooh, man, we would be shouting about heaven. We would just be having us a whoopee time. But I tell you, I found it better that when you tell people the truth, amen, and they get convicted and they get right with God, if my people, which is called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn and pray, then he said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. If our land ever needed to be healed, it's now. I work for the Postal Service in Sterling, Virginia, not too far from here, for 5 years as a mailman before the Lord called me to deliver letters like I am delivering to your mailbox today. And I'll never forget as I travel down the road putting letters in the boxes up a little ways is the cars of police and a house with a ribbon, yellow ribbon all around the house. And when I got to the neighbor, he come out and I said, what is going on? At that time, 30-something years ago, amen, 35 years ago, 33, 4, my wife said, I was pretty close. The houses at Sterling, Virginia, and Sugarland Run were selling for $250,000 to $300,000 34 years ago. Rich people, wealthy people. And as I got up closer and gave the mail to the neighbor, he said to me, the woman next door has a 6-month baby, and the baby wouldn't stop crying, so she got a hammer and hit it in the head about 29 times. Sick! I will heal your land! It's a sick, sin, sick world we're living in. Amen. The black lady took her baby and tied a cinder block around its neck and throwed it into the river off of the bridge. Sick. The other lady got upset with her baby, put it in the oven and turned it to broil. Amen. Sick. Sick. And it's us that can turn the hand of God if we turn. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land, heal our land. Lord, it's getting worse and worse and worse. You don't know what time you'll go into the mall and somebody will come with a machine gun, start shooting everybody. Now it's the schools. Now it's little children possessed by demonic spirits. Amen. It's an awful world. I would like to tell you a couple of things and I'm going to close. Amen. There's other scriptures. The Bible says when Zion travails, they'll bring forth children. Zion needs to travail. Amen. There's another scripture over here in the book of Jeremiah, and he said these things. He said, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slaying of the daughters of my people. Amen. The psalmist said, rivers of water ran down mine eyes because they would keep not thy laws. Jeremiah said, the harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we're not saved. And our loved ones are not saved. And our loved ones are going to hell. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I remember one time I heard a brother by the name of Brother McDaniel. Brother Clarence McDaniel pastored a little Pentecostal church over in Bristol, Oklahoma. Amen. And brother said he walked out the door one Sunday morning after Sunday school that he had been hearing sirens. And when he opened the door of the little church, he looked across the field, and there is a house on fire, a big old wooden house on fire, flames. Amen. He got in his car. He drove around the block all the way to the other side of that pasture, and he pulled up in there, and the firemen were all over trying to put the fire out, but it gotten out of control. Amen. And he went there and presented himself. My name is Pastor Clarence McDaniel. I pastored the little church across the street, across the field. And if I could be of any assistance for you, with you, for y'all, whatever our church can do, we'd be glad to help you. Amen. Said, oh, well, we appreciate it, sir. But the elderly lady that lived there and another lady, amen, have both burned to death. They were black people. Amen. And while they talked, he heard a noise from over on his left side, on down the field, a woman screaming, coming, running, 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 screaming. Could hear something. The closer she got was, Mother! Did you get Mother out of the house? Mother lives there. Running, running as fast as a young man could run. This lady was running. Amen. Probably about 50-year-old. Running, running, running. And they knew it was too late. They knew the mom had died and the other lady had died, both of them, in that fire. And the lady was coming. And they tried it, and she wasn't about to be stopped. She was moving with fear. She went this way. They went that way. She wasn't about to stop. Mother was in the house. She wanted Mother to be saved. And the brother said that those firemen had to tackle her like a football player does another and pin her to the ground. And she shook and fought and screamed, my mother is in there. But how in the world can you go in a house with flames? It didn't matter to her. She was moving with fear. She would have gone in to get her mother, no matter what it would take. God help us as saints of God to move with fear. Noah, move with fear. With fear, drove every nail. With fear, the storms are coming. I said the storms are coming. And as they talked, and they watched him hold that lady down, directly from over on the other side, another lady come running, screaming, my mother, my mother, my mother, my mother! Her leg had been amputated from her knee down. Amen. She was on crutches, but she was running like a young man. She was moving with fear. Amen. And there was a fence. And she come to that fence. She throwed her crutches across the fence. And she jumped the fence with one leg and picked up her crutches and kept running and kept screaming, Mother! Mother! And her also, like the other, they had to tackle her and hold her because they loved their mother and they wanted to save their mother. How about your mother? How about your husband? How about your children, your grandchildren, your wife? Amen. They had to hold her and pin her down just like the other because they were moving with fear. I can think of many things to tell you. I'm not closing because I ran out of things. I'm closing because I feel like I've got my message to you. And it's up to you to do with it what you're going to do with it. The word of God does not go void. It will accomplish that which it was sent forth. Amen. If you would take it to heart tonight, today, tonight, there will be more people in this service. If today you take this little message, simple and plain, as humble as it is, tonight, you could bring just one. Just one. I'm not asking you to bring 5 or 10 or 20. Just one. Call them up. I've done call them up. Call them up again. They're in a house that's on fire. They're going to an eternal hell. And God's telling you today, move with fear. Move with fear. Pastor, I'm done. Could we stand as the pastor comes and takes over the service? God bless you. Pray much for us.